You may be seated, and welcome to Hillview Heights Church Wednesday night worship. And I have a special word from Pastor Jamie. He said tonight to tell you that he misses you all. He's out preaching the gospel, and he's got a lot of youth and a lot of children coming to this church where he's been preaching a revival. And so tonight, let's be in prayer for him as he preaches the word. And I told him, I said, Jamie, you miss them. After tonight, they may call you and say, we missed you too. So tonight we've got a message from the Word of God. Did y'all come to hear the Word of God tonight? Well, that's good. I came to hear the Word of God tonight. I didn't come to hear my opinion. I didn't come to hear how I think about it. I came to hear the Word of God, and so that's what we're going to hear tonight, is the Word of God. You know, one of the things we believe at Hillview Heights Church is that this Word right here, this Bible, that it is inspired by God, it is inerrant, and that it is useful for teaching and training, sometimes even rebuking, for instructing in righteousness. And so tonight we turn to the pages of the Word of God to talk about something that y'all probably don't want to talk about. I remember when Pastor Jamie first started here, one of the first sermons he preached, the thesis of the sermon was this, that he believed that one of our greatest witnesses as followers of Christ was our suffering. And I remember him saying that, and I said, no, Jamie, no. No, let's not talk about suffering. Nobody wants to hear about suffering. We're in America. Don't preach a sermon on suffering. Don't write a book on suffering. It will not sell. Don't tell me that in Christ I'm going to suffer. Tell me that in Christ Jesus will keep me safe. Tell me that in Christ nothing bad will ever happen. Tell me that in Christ everything will be okay. Well, I've got good news. In Christ everything will be okay. In Christ, everything will be okay. But the reality is, the psalmist wrote, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Not, yea, though I won't ever have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I do not fear. Why? For thou art with me. And so tonight, we're going to turn to the pages of Scripture in the Psalms, a psalm you've probably never heard preached. I've never heard it preached. I had read it 1,000 times, and I had never actually allowed it to sink into the depths of my soul until I went through a moment of suffering myself. And I was crying out to God, God, I need to hear from you in this particular psalm. And so we're going to turn there in just a second. But tonight we've sung about, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Why? Because he's worthy of all of it, isn't he? And the bottom line is this, guys. The Bible says, and I'm paraphrasing here, but the Bible says that in Christ, whether I'm on top of the mountain or the mountain's on top of me, Christ is with me. Amen? How many of you in this room have had to suffer before? Anybody? Now, granted, we're in America, okay? If I was in Sudan preaching this message, I would be the one who had no idea what he was talking about. Because right now, if you're a Christian in Sudan, well, let's put it this way. If you're going to be a missionary and go to Sudan, you're coming back one of two ways. Either not at all or in a body bag. Sudan is serious. Guys, if you say you believe in Jesus Christ in Sudan, they will kill you and feel good about it. Because we've done it for Allah. Right now in Darfur, millions of people have been killed. Millions of people have been killed by a corrupt government and that is practicing genocide. Right now, this is going on in our world. And you and I worry when somebody talks badly about us. You and I worry when we're not as comfortable as we could be. You and I worry when my stress level's high. Well, the bottom line is that Jesus Christ has called you and I, no matter whether we're being persecuted, whether we're suffering, whether we're going through something that we caused ourselves, or whether we're going through something that we didn't have any control over. He's called us to hold on to Him because He's holding on to us. That's good news tonight. And I pray tonight because I know some of you are going through situations right now that are awful. Some of you have been through and some of you are going to. And so I really pray that we'll hear the Word of God tonight, because the Word of God speaks to where we are. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you tonight that your Word is absolutely true. I thank you tonight, Lord, that we can turn to the pages of Scripture, knowing that they are inspired by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that these are words that bring life. They're words that cut dead things out of our lives, and they bring alive things into our lives. Lord, I'm thankful that this word speaks of Jesus Christ, who the Bible says is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one who saves us. He is the one who sustains us, and he is the one who brings us home in the end. And so we thank you, Lord, that your word is true. Tonight we pray that you would speak to us in the way that only you can. Lord, so we ask that you would prepare our hearts to hear your word. We ask that you would prepare our ears to be receptive to what you would have us say through your Holy Spirit tonight. And so, Lord, tonight, we don't want to hear from me. We want to hear from you. And so we pray these things, trusting you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you got your Bible with you, flip open to Psalm 13. Psalm 13. Put your finger there and hold on to it for a second, because that's where we're going. Psalm 13 is a psalm. There are many different kinds of psalms in the book of Psalms. Psalm 13 is what's called a lament, okay? There are psalms of praise, psalms of joy, there are psalms of lament. And Psalm 13 is a psalm of lament. Now, when Jamie preached his sermon years ago, a couple years ago now, I began to study because I thought, you know, I've heard so many preachers say that if you'll give your life to Christ, nothing bad will ever happen to you. How many of you have heard that preached? Yeah. There are some TV programs that you can turn it to. And they will say, give your life to Christ, give me my seed money, and nothing bad will ever happen to you. Well, you know, the Apostle Paul said something in his letter to the church at Galatia. In the first chapter, very first chapter, you see, the Galatian church was dealing with Judaizers who had come in and said, yes, there's grace in Christ, but in order to obtain that grace, you've got to do this and this and this and this and this. They were preaching a works-based salvation. You know what the Apostle Paul wrote to that church? He said, if anyone preaches to you a gospel that is different from that which we preach to you, let them be anathema. Let them be eternally condemned. Let me break it down. Let them be damned to hell. He said, I'll repeat myself. As I've already said, I will say again. Even if we or an angel from heaven preach to you a gospel that is different from the one we preach to you, let them be eternally condemned. Why? Because Paul knew that false teachers would come who would distort the gospel to speak to people who wanted to hear nothing but good things, who wanted to work out their own salvation by what they did, who would deceive a lot of folks. And see, the danger when you're deceived is heaven and hell. The danger when you're deceived is life and death. It's not, oh, I was deceived. No, the danger is heaven and hell. The Bible calls Satan a liar and the father of all lies. And so what he's going to try to do is take the seed of the gospel, twist it just a little bit so it still kind of looks like the gospel, and then feed it to people so they would be deceived and condemned. But the truth of God's word says this. It's not all going to be perfect. It's not all going to be fun and games. There are going to be times in your life when you suffer, when you struggle. There are going to be trials. I've had more people in my office saying this to me. Jeff, I gave my life to Christ and he wasn't supposed to let this happen. Now what do I do that it did? See, you keep believing in Jesus Christ because he's here and he's not leaving. Psalm 13. This is a psalm of David. King David wrote this. Verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? You say, well, wait a minute. That's in the Bible? You mean to tell me that somebody like King David, the psalmist, he's crying out to God and he's saying, God, where you at? How many of y'all have cried out to God? God, where you at? Some of the most painful moments in my life of ministry have come when I've gone to be with a family who is experiencing tragedy. And I've had people grab my head. I've had people grab my shirt and pull me in. And I'm a pretty big old boy. And they say, where is Jesus? He's here. But I can't feel him. Oh, but he's here. The reason you're still standing is He's here. The reason you're still breathing is He's here. But there are times when He seems far off. How do you deal with that as a follower of Christ? How do I deal with times when it seems like God is ignoring me? God, I cry out to You day and night over and over and over. Why won't You answer? And God is in the heavenly realms. And God is with us. And He is hearing our prayers. And in His time, He will answer our prayers. But many times you and I are like the psalmist David. Where are You? How long? How long am I going to have to endure? How long, Lord, will You forget me? Forever? I gave my life to You. And now, see, these are the realities of life. And most preachers won't tell you about them because it won't sell. You're not going to grow a church talking about suffering. You're not going to sell a book talking about suffering. But I promise you, it's got to be dealt with. Why? Because it's right here. As human beings, you and I are going to suffer. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. You say, I don't want to hear that, preacher. I'm sorry. I don't want to hear it either, and I definitely don't want to say it to you. But we are going to endure times of suffering. The reality of life is that life is not always pretty. I've been spending a lot of time throughout the course of the last year at Vanderbilt Children's Hospital with my niece. I want to tell you, when you look into the face of a parent whose utter world is coming apart because their child is sick, what do you say? You realize that in the midst of the trial, God is still faithful. In the midst of the trial, God is still faithful. As human beings, we will suffer. There are times when it seems that God has forgotten us. There are times when our thoughts battle against us. Any of y'all ever had to think in circles? Try to go to sleep at night, and that one thought comes up, and it won't go away. You try everything. Count sheep, and the sheep tell you about the problem you're thinking about. You know, I mean, that kind of gig. Yeah, our thoughts battle against us, because if you're like me, this is not a good thing, but if you're like me, most of the time when you face a trial, the last thing you'll do is pray, right? First thing you'll do is think through it. Let me think through it. Let me see how I can fix this. Let me see how I can work this out. Well, the reality is you and I can't work anything out. We can't even work out our salvation. We're saved by grace. If Christ didn't do something, you and I don't get saved. Nothing we can do. Sometimes our thoughts wage war against us. Look at verse 3. Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. There are going to be times in our lives. There are going to be times, listen to me carefully. There are going to be times in our lives when we come to places of utter dependence upon God. There are going to be times when we have nowhere else to turn. It's coming, okay? And when you have nowhere else to turn, you've looked to the right, you've looked to the left, you've looked down, and you've looked all the way around. The only way you can look is where? Up. Lord, what now? How many of y'all prayed this prayer? God, if You don't do something, I'm done. God, if You don't show up and do something, I will die. This is what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. If You don't do something, God, I'm done for. Verse 4, my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. There will be times when we have nowhere to go but God. The reality of it is, no matter how many places we've got to go, God, through Christ, should be the first one we go to every time, right? Amen? That's great to say. I say it in Sunday school all day long. Let's go to God first. Then the problem hits. What do I do? Everywhere else. And then God will finally give. There's this knot on the back of my head God sometimes gets a hold of. He'll just give me a whack. And it's like, hey, dummy, come here. I'm here. Talk to me. I know. They're going to try. They're being sweet people. They don't know. I know. When I was 14 years old, I went to the doctor for the first time. It wasn't the first time I'd been to the doctor, but it was the first time I went back to the doctor's office by myself. Okay, now that's a big deal. Okay, when your whole life, your mommy has gone back there with you, Now, Daddy can't go back there with you because Daddy doesn't care. We're going to get a shot. Well, suck it up, boy. You're going to get a shot. Mommy cries with you. Daddy's just like, quit being a sissy, you know? But this was the first time that I went to the doctor and I went back there by myself. Okay, this is a big deal. Even at 14, I was scared to death. What had happened, I'd had this big old knot come up on the side of my neck. And I didn't notice it, but they noticed it at Mr. Gaddy's. They noticed it, for goodness sake. And it was huge. I mean, it was just this goiter on the side of my neck. And they said, you know, Jeff, you really should get this checked out. I'm like, yeah, I probably should get this checked out. So I go to the doctor, again, by myself. Mom's in the waiting room. And I'm talking to this particular physician. I'm not going to tell you who he is. But I'm talking to this particular physician. And he says, he takes a look at it. And he pokes around at it for a second. And he said, well, he said, it may be nothing. But he said, as he's walking out the door, we're going to want to get some blood tests because that may be indicative of leukemia. Have a good day. Well, here I sit on a little table with paper on it. What did he just say? His nurse comes in the room. What did he just say? She said, well, we do want to do some blood tests. She had a little bit more tact. She was like, we do want to do some blood tests because that could be indicative of a lot of things, but one of the things that could be indicative of is leukemia. Now, you got to understand, I had a cousin who had leukemia and battled for years, and he's alive today and has children, and he's thriving. But the thought of leukemia in my 14-year-old mind was like, oh, my gosh. I said, well, when can we do the blood test? Right now? She said, no, this is Saturday. We don't do blood work on Saturday. I said, so what do I do? She said, well, you'll just need to go home and we'll make an appointment for you to come back in. I said, when? Tuesday would be the earliest. So I go home. And I can remember sitting on the side of my bed, much like this right here. And I'm looking in my mirror. And my life is whizzing before my eyes. I'm thinking, I'm 14 years old, and I could be diagnosed with a deadly disease, and this could be it for me. And I remember I wept, and I cried out to God, God, you got to do something. If you don't do something, this could be it for me. All those great plans, that time I thought I'd play in the NFL. I was wrong. But I thought, God, how will I play in the NFL? If I'm not here, how will I get married and have kids if I'm not here? How will I graduate high school if I'm not here? And I cried out. I go to the doctor on Tuesday, get the blood test. They got to calculate the results or whatever. So I'm calling the doctor back every 2 minutes. Dude, answer the phone, okay? You got to tell me, what does it say? And he answers the phone. He's mad that I'm calling. I'm like, what is it? And he said, you have mono. Go to the hospital and get treated. I'm like, I can handle mono, all right? But you know what? I'll never forget that experience. Anybody who's been through a diagnosis, you know what that feels like. You know what it feels like to have that doctor in his pristine white coat tell you something that's changing your life. Anybody who's ever had a child go through a diagnosis, you know what that feels like. And you know the utter despair that comes over you. You know the questions that seem to have no answers. What am I going to do? There are times when we cry out to God because that's all we got. Now, He should be the first place we go. Here's the good news. All the problems that you and I face, all the suffering, all the trials, He's bigger than all of them. And He's with us through all of them. I'll never forget this past Holy Week, Eric Baker, Pastor Eric, led the Garden of Gethsemane experience. Some of you were here. And he showed that clip from the Passion of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I will never forget, for the first time this year I saw, Jesus was fervently praying to God, praying to His Father in heaven. The Bible says His sweat was as drops of blood. It was so dense. You know what the answer was from heaven? Nothing. I said, oh God. How many times have I felt like the answer was nothing? How many times have I felt like you have been silent? How many times have I felt like, God, you're not helping me? And yet as I went through that moment of suffering, as I went through that trial, you were leading me to a greater blessing. You see, the cross is a story of human existence. If Jesus doesn't go through the cross, there's no blessing for you and me. If Jesus doesn't die the most painful, excruciating public death ever imagined, you and I aren't here today. You and I are stuck in our sins. And we're stuck in our sin for all eternity. Jesus suffered. Jesus died. And the bottom line is, Jesus said to all who would come after Him, if you will follow Me, you must pick up your cross and you must carry it. He said, but take heart, remember this, I'll be there with you. I'll be giving you the strength to get through. I'll be helping you. Verse 5. There's a turn in the psalm. There's a twist. Most laments have this kind of a twist at the end. God, if you don't do something, I will die. Now listen to the words of David. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for He has been good to me. See, I don't know what David's situation was. Amen. Y'all say amen on that. I don't know what David's situation was he was facing. This is just kind of one of those psalms where he's going through something tough, but we don't know what it was. In the NASB, which is a different translation, same Bible, it says, but I have trusted in your unfailing love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. There's an importance there. David's facing something that potentially he's never faced before. But he says, I have trusted you, God. I have trusted that your love does not fail. I have trusted that nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. I have trusted that, God, you will not abandon or forsake me. I have trusted those things. And now I shall trust and rejoice in your salvation. You see, David's following a pattern that began early in his life. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, this is that chapter where David fights Goliath. You know the story? You remember the story of David and Goliath? Well, I want you to see what happened. In verse 37, what's going on is David is talking to Saul, and David's this little wimp who's going to King Saul and saying, yeah, everybody in your army's scared. I'll fight him. I got him. No problem. No problem. Let me at him. And King Saul's looking at him like, you've lost your mind. He says, you're a youth. And this guy, who's, by the way, huge, has been a warrior since his youth. This is what David replies. He said this, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. You see, David had been a shepherd. Now, when you're a shepherd, you become an expert in sheep, right? That's what you know better than anything. And as a shepherd, you guard the flock. You don't let anything come and get the other sheep. Well, David, as a shepherd, as a young man, he had to defend his sheep against the lion and against the bear. Now, David had to fight them. David had to fend them off. Now, I'd imagine when that lion first crept up, David was a little scared. He was like, God, I have never faced a lion. This thing's huge. By the way, you ever seen a lion? Head's like this big, okay? Imagine being a little runt, and here comes something with a head that big and teeth this long. He had never seen a lion. You know what the sovereign God allowed him to do? He allowed him to destroy the lion. You know what the sovereign God allowed him to do? He allowed him to avoid the paw of the bear that would kill him and the sheep. So what David is saying is, listen, God, I've never seen anything like this before. I've never fought a giant, but I do remember what I have done. I do remember, more importantly, what you have done. And so I can go ahead and fight this giant because of what you've already done. Amen?
Amen.
Same thing here. Amen. He said, God, I have trusted in your unfailing love. You haven't let me down yet. And my heart will rejoice in your salvation. What about for you and me? What about for you and me? You and I are going to face things that we never would have imagined that we'd face. How do you approach these things? How do you say, God, what do I do now? Well, I would suggest you and I act like David a little bit. We remember what God's brought us through. We remember that God has been faithful thus far. We remember that God has not given up on us yet. Timmy, we remember that God has not deserted us yet, because the good news is He hadn't, has He? See, some of you in here are going through hellish experiences because in this moment, for whatever reason, but God's bringing you through. And you can sit here and sing and worship to God. You can say God is good all the time. And all the time, amen. Why? Because even when it stinks, He's still there. And He's pulling us through. Let me ask you a question. Lord, please don't be 7:30. Okay. Let me ask you this question real quick, and then we'll conclude. As a follower of Christ, okay, if you've given your life to Christ, if you have trusted in Him for your salvation, what's the worst thing that can happen? What's the worst thing that can physically happen to me? I can die. Physically, the worst thing that can happen to me is that I can die, right? Well, if I'm a follower of Christ and I am in Christ, then the worst thing physically that can happen to me, it leads me to a greater blessing. If I die, I go to heaven. I spend eternity with the Father who art in heaven, with the Son who was in flesh, who reigns forevermore, with the Holy Spirit. I am in paradise. Now listen, hold on now, hold on. Because I know some of you in here right now, you're thinking, well, why don't I just speed that process up? Because that's not your call. It's not your call. Well, if it's going to be so much greater, why don't I just go now? Because it's not your time. God's got you here for a reason. And so don't take out and say, well, this life stinks, so I'm just going to go on and go to heaven and I'll make that decision myself. Don't. No. Look around you. Look at the people who are in your life. Look at the people who depend on you every day. Look at the people whose lives would be totally crushed if you decided it was time to check out. I had a woman tell me not long ago. She said, I was going to commit suicide one day. And right as I was fixing to do it, my little grandson kind of wobbled into the room. And he reminded me that what I was fixing to do was going to destroy a lot of people's worlds. Don't forget that. But the bottom line is this. One day, however it happens, I'm going to die. It could be in a car wreck, could be a terminal disease, could be, it doesn't matter. Unless Jesus comes back first, I'm going to die. What's going to happen? I'm going to go to heaven. My sin has been forgiven. I've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, and so God is going to take me home to be with Him. Matt, we do not suffer as those who have no hope, do we? Because we have hope in Jesus Christ. That means I can go to the funeral home of someone who has died in Christ, and I can be sad and I can grieve, but I can rejoice because Jesus has them alive right now in the heavenly realms. See, it's real. There comes a point in life where either it's real or it's not, and we got to decide. I don't grieve as the rest of the world grieves because I grieve with hope. I grieve with the hope that Jesus has taken him or her home. You want to know what a tragedy is? Somebody who dies without Christ. That's a tragedy. Now, we don't call that a tragedy. Here in America, listen, we'll make it up. Well, I'm sure they went to church one time back in 1927. I'm sure they're a Christian. They got sprinkled when they were an infant. That makes them a Christian. So when it comes to funeral time, a lot of preachers lie. Well, the Lord has taken them home to be in the green pastures of heaven. I'm going to tell you something. You give your life to Christ, the Lord will take you home. You do not give your life to Christ, somebody's got to pay for that sin, and it will be you. Amen. You say, well, I don't like that. I don't like it either, but that's the way it is. Amen. I have trusted in your unfailing love. I will rejoice in your salvation. God doesn't give up on us. It doesn't matter what we're going through. You say, I can't feel Him. He's still there. He's still there. And at the end of the line, if we're in Christ, we get to go continue to live in Christ. The Apostle Paul, as he was imprisoned and facing execution, wrote to the church at Philippi. He said, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Let me translate that for you. Here's what he said. He said, as long as I live, Everybody in this prison is going to hear about Jesus. They guards are going to keep getting saved. Other prisoners are going to keep getting spiritually freed. It's going to be Jesus. He said, but let me help you. If you execute me, you ain't going to be doing nothing but blessing me. I get to go home. I get to rest. I get to be with my Father. I get to see Christ face to face. And so if you kill me, you ain't done nothing. Yeah. It's that real, isn't it? I don't know about y'all. Sometimes I have to be brought to the realization that it's real. Y'all know that my niece, and we're very close. I know, you know, it's just, we're very close to this family, but she's been struggling with a disease for quite some time. And you know, anytime you're around a lot of sick kids, you begin to ask some fundamental questions. And sometimes you want to cry out, God, where are you? With one word, you could fix this. You could make it all better. You could heal it all. And you know what he says? I'm right here. I'm right here. The Bible talks about that still small voice that assures you you are not alone. The Bible talks about the strengthening of Christ that gives you the strength to take another step when you don't feel like you've got the strength to take another step. The Bible talks about the provision of God that sustains me when it feels like everything is lost. The Bible talks about a God who will go with us through the valley, to the shadow of the valley of death. And I want you to know today, it's for real. There's a lot of you in here that could bear better testimony than me that it's for real. Now, we're not going to have a sharing time because we'll be in here till midnight. But I'm going to tell you something. In those times in life where it seems so dark and you feel so alone, you are not alone. For if you are in Christ, Christ is with you. And the bottom line is, no matter what may happen, no matter what may befall, if you are in Christ, there is no weapon formed against you that can prosper. If you are in Christ, you are more than a conqueror. Last week, Pastor Jamie taught, if you are in Christ, you shall overcome the world. Why? Because Christ has overcome the world. And if you're not in Christ, honest, none of that applies to you. You say, well, that's not a very loving God. Yeah, it is. He's a loving God because he provided a way for it to apply to you. And his name is Jesus. Tonight, we're going to have an altar call, okay? Here's the altar call. Tonight, maybe you've been wrestling with something. Maybe you've been struggling with something. Maybe you have been wrestling against your own thoughts, unable to sleep because of this moment that you're going through. I want you to come up here. You say, I don't want to. Come up here anyway and give it to God. And say, God, I'm not big enough to handle this. You have to do something. And I trust you to do it. Maybe tonight you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, here's the bottom line. In Christ, there's forgiveness of sin. I'm not a sinner. Listen, if you've broken the Ten Commandments, you're a sinner. God said, do not, and we did. God said, do, and we did not. God said, have no other gods before me. Listen, I've made women gods before him. I've made money gods before him. I've made cars and automobiles gods before him. I've made grades gods before him. I made everything else a god before God. You know what that's called? Sin. God said, do not bear false witness against your neighbor. You know what I've done? Gossiped. That's called gossip. If you've told a story that somebody told you, you don't know it's true or not, and you're telling it to somebody else, you have sinned. Gossip. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't lie on people. Do not steal. I've stolen. Do not kill. I've hated. Jesus said it was the same. Do not commit adultery. Jesus said if you lust, it's the same thing. Anybody in here never lusted? Raise your hand now because we will put you in the middle of the stage. Anybody? Never lusted. Okay, so you just confessed to me that you're a sinner. You've broken God's law. If you break God's law, just like when you were little, there is a punishment. And that punishment, because God is perfect, is that He can't have anything sinful and tainted around Him. And you pay the penalty for that sin for all eternity in a very real place called hell. But God, in His great love for you and me, He sent His Son, Jesus, who lived a perfect life, and then who took your punishment and mine. He died on the cross. He bore the full wrath of God for you and for me. And He died. Let me remind you, He died. He didn't pass out. He didn't swoon. He died. That's the punishment. He was dead for 3 days. But on the third day, the good news is He arose from the grave. He's alive today. And that means when I suffer and you suffer, there's hope because Jesus is alive. Amen? Amen. Tonight, if you've never turned to Him and said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I want to follow You. Tonight's the night. Tonight's the night. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation because tomorrow may not come. And so I invite us to stand. If we all stand up. Tonight, if you need to begin a relationship with Christ, I want to invite you to pray with me. And you say, how do I do that? You pray. And so let's all pray. But if you need to begin a relationship with Christ tonight, you pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I admit that I have sinned. And Lord, I'm sorry for that sin. Lord, help me to turn away from that sin because it's killing me anyway and it's dishonoring You. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Cleanse me of my unrighteousness and my sin. Make me holy before You. I believe that You lived a perfect life. I believe that You died on the cross. I believe that You rose from the grave. I believe that You can forgive me. And I ask You to do it now. Jesus, I want to follow You. Tonight, if you just prayed that prayer, I'm going to invite you to come. Come up here and tell myself, Pastor David will be up here, tell somebody, Jesus just came into my life. You say, well, what comes into my life when Jesus comes into my life? Hope comes into your life. Joy comes into your life. Peace comes into your life. Love comes into your life. And so if you prayed that prayer, I want to invite you to come. Tonight, if you've been following Christ for a while and you've not been baptized and it's time to be obedient to God, I want you to come. And tonight, maybe you're just in the midst of a moment or you know somebody else who is. You know the most powerful thing you can do is to come up here and pray for them. Bow before an almighty God. And place them in His care. Place them in His hands. Because above all else, He is able. Lord Jesus, we come to You now. I pray that You would open our hearts to what You would have us to think, to say, to do. And that we would simply do what You tell us to. In the name of Jesus Christ, this altar is open. Come, come, beloved, come.